Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
And I'm always used to introducing guests. The mystery guest thing, I'm still getting used to here, Matt. So,
well, right. He's here with us now.
Okay.
Right. Hi, this is Tim Kirkjian with ESPN.
Oh, my goodness.
Steve, a happy 10 years on the air. Good for you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, for this, yeah. 40 years for basketball, 30 for football, and I'm fortunate to do this for 10. How have you been?
I've been okay. I'd be better if we start spring training in a couple weeks, but that looks pretty unlikely at this point. So, therefore, I'm not doing very well.
Yeah, and I understand that. Believe me. I mean, it's because last year with COVID and Big Ten football, they originally said that they were not going to play. Then it was going to be an abbreviated season. So I know what it's like to sit there in limbo wondering what's going to happen. So you and I have walked in the same shoes, maybe in a different way, but we have.
Yeah, well, the difference, though, is COVID prevented us from playing. And this
right.
time, we're not quite sure what is preventing us from playing. We all know this is all about money, and that's part of the problem. You know, they're not close on the minimum salary or the luxury tax. There are debates about how we're going to handle, you know, competitive balance, how you keep teams from, you know, rebuilding so often and so, you know, violently in its own way, you know, going down to a payroll that's lower than, say, Max Scherzer's making by himself. I mean, these are all the issues that have to be done. And I thought February 1st, we better have an agreement. And we're not even close, and it's February the 1st. So we have to hope now that we can really make some movement here in the next 2 weeks and get spring training started on time. But at this point, from the people that I've talked to, that's unlikely.
How difficult is it for you to cover this aspect of it, because you have such a passion for the game and the stories and the players? And how difficult, though, is it for you emotionally to cover this part of it, because it's not the fun part?
Yeah, it's certainly not the fun part. And, you know, I'd much rather talk to a left fielder than a lawyer. And that's what you have to do now when you cover labor. But I covered the 81 strike. Of course, I covered 94, 95, so I'm kind of used to this. But you never get used to not playing. And I just hope everyone on both sides recognizes how much damage could be done if part of spring training doesn't happen, if somehow we don't play 162 games this year. I mean, that's a really dangerous situation, and I'm just hoping that everyone recognizes how much money can be lost if you don't play. And let's face it, with football, which I don't even understand football, but I like to watch it, we just saw six great playoff games the last 2 weeks, and that's what people care about, is the playing of the game. And I hope baseball truly, truly recognizes that, and right now, I'm a little worried.
I want to ask you about the Hall of Fame since I've got you here. The Hall of Fame is going to be graced with Gil Hodges, Mitty Minoso, Buck O'Neill, among others, and of course, the one that was recently elected, David Ortiz. What did your ballot look like?
Well, I voted for 9 guys. I almost always vote for 10, but this year I voted for 9. I voted for David Ortiz, and I voted for Alex Rodriguez and, I'm not Alex Rodriguez, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, and I didn't vote for Alex Rodriguez or Manny Ramirez. So there were 5 guys with a connection to steroids and or PEDs in some way, and it's just really difficult these days to separate how you vote for these guys. So I voted for David Ortiz because I just don't think his PED violations are nearly as clear as some other guys. And then when you look at his record, you know, 10 All-Star games, 3 World Series championships, 541 homers, 931 OPS, 7 guys in history have both of those numbers. And, you know, his World Series play, especially postseason, has been unbelievable. It's 688 in the 2013 World Series when the rest of the Red Sox hit under 200. And, you know, when you look at the all-time players on the Red Sox, Ted Williams is number one, and then you probably have to choose between David Ortiz and Carly Stretzky for number two. That's what kind of career David Ortiz had.
Absolutely. So who were the others that you did vote for that obviously didn't make it, but I just want to see what kind of traction they got?
Right. Well, I voted for those three, so Bonds, Clemens, and Ortiz. I voted for Schilling and Sheffield. I voted for Roland and Helton, and I voted for Jeff Kent and Billy Wagner. And of all those guys, Scott Roland is now at 63%. History tells us, unless you have a lot of PED baggage, which, of course, he has none, you get to 63%, especially with 4 years left on the ballot, you've got a real chance to make it. So I'm not sure Roland will make it next year, but I think eventually the writers will vote him in maybe 2 years from now.
I agree with all those. I mean, that's a rock-solid ballot. You know, the ones that didn't make it, that's a rock-solid ballot. When you sit down to vote, and you voted for 9, not 10, as you said, what's your personal criteria?
Well, the numbers are first, obviously. The era in which you played is important, durability, all that. And the character clause plays in it, and it's really difficult now with the PED situation. And it just seems to me that Bonds and Clemens played in an era where there was this tacit agreement in Major League Baseball that no one was checking, no one was testing, all sorts of players were doing it, and players were encouraged to do it in certain cases. Does that condone it? Does that make it right? No, but does that factor into the way that I look at things? Yes, it does. As opposed to 2005 on, when they are testing and you are getting punished and they are checking, I think those guys are in a different category than, say, Bonds and Clemens. Now, a lot of people disagree with me. I totally understand that. I'm just not sure there are any real right answers anymore when it comes to the PED questions, because it's all so confusing.
Tim, you just referenced the NFL postseason where every game was going down to the wire. Baseball went with the standard playoff look this past year because they didn't reach an agreement with the Players Association. I saw one proposal that had the owners at 14 and the players at 12. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but it's something I read. How do you feel about expanded postseason, just as a general principle?
Well, I was all for it 2 years ago when we had a 60-game season and COVID dominated baseball, sadly. But I don't think we need expanded playoffs. And again, I'm way in the minority on this. I understand the money to be made. I understand more teams in the playoffs, more interest. I get it. But let's not forget, on the final day of the 2021 season, with only 10 playoff teams in there, it was an amazing final day of the season, and you're probably just not going to get that again if you have all those teams making the playoffs, meaning if Toronto and Seattle and all the teams that just missed out would have all made it, I think the drama of that final day would have gone away. And I think you better be careful what you wish for. But I think we'll go to 12. I don't think we'll go to 14. Can I live with 12? Of course I can. But I think keeping it at 10 is a good place, because I think the integrity of a 162-game season is really important. And winning your division is really important, and I don't think we should lose that.
I'll never forget the Red Sox faltering down the stretch, Tampa Bay getting in, an Orioles-Yankees deal at the end where they did the same thing because it was limited. Man, that made a dramatic last day, and I think Terry Francona ended up losing his job out of it.
Yeah, I was there in Baltimore that night, and I believe that was the greatest single season day night in the history of regular season baseball. ever. And it was because just what you said, you lose and you go home. And if, you know, if the Red Sox were in, whether they won that game or not, I'm just not sure it means the same thing. To repeat, if you're going to play 162 games, you really have to make it worth it. And you have to make the winner get a few advantages for winning in 162 games. You're not going to get the same advantages if there are, say, 14 playoff teams.
I think after 162, you sort of proved where you belonged.
I think. Sparky Anderson always used to say, that's why we play 162, because there are no excuses at the end. The season is so long, you can't ever say, hey, we ran out of time. No, 162 games is a great barometer, and I'd like to see him play 162 this year and just... I'd like to see 10 playoff teams, no more. But my guess is we'll have 12. I just hope we play as quickly as possible.
Hey, I'm with you all the way. And, Tim, I thank you so much for the valuable time you gave us today. It's awfully nice of you to be a part of this.
Well, thank you, Steve. I know your career is way longer than 10 years, way longer, but I was told that just we're celebrating 10 years today. So congratulations on that, okay?
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you.
Okay, see ya.